Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet Playoff Preview presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron, special guest Jonathan Ibrahim, back again today. What's up, fellas?
Hey, guys. Glad to be back. Playoffs are around the corner, so let's get at it.
Let's keep it simple this time, all right? The award show got a little out of hand.
It was fun.
Let's try and be friends, all right?
I don't know. You guys, you know, you're the one that got to worry about, Corey. Pacer fan over here, so.
Normally, I'd be okay with that, but based off what today's topic is, I'm not making any promises.
That's what I like to hear. Interesting show lined up. We'll talk previous, you know, the season series. Pacers won 3-1. You know, neither team has any really big injuries going to this series. You know, Kevin Love's health is obviously always in question, but he should be good to go. But and then another random factor out there. I'm sorry to do this to you, Corey, but LeBron has beat the Pacers in the playoffs in 2012, 2013, 2014, and 2017. So what do we make of what we know about this previous history between LeBron and the Pacers or in the Cavs and the Pacers?
Not the same team. That's all I got for that. I mean, you know, obviously being a Pacers fan, I've seen LeBron James more times than I would like in the playoffs, obviously. But I wouldn't have it any other way. I truly believe to be the best and to win a title, you have to go through the best competition, obviously. And the Pacers, unfortunately, haven't been able to get past LeBron James, whether he's been in Miami or he's been in Cleveland. Obviously, this time around, there is no Paul George. So it's a completely different rivalry. It's not Paul George versus LeBron. It's going to be Victor Oladipo versus LeBron to a degree. But it's definitely not the same type of stuff there was last year. The Cavs aren't as good as they were last year, to my opinion. The Pacers aren't as bad as they were last year. So 4-5.
Yeah, you're right. It isn't the same teams from last season, but I just think that LeBron has you can pick any Eastern Conference team. I just think LeBron has the conference number, so it doesn't matter if it's the 2011 Pacers, 2013 Pacers, 2018 Pacers. If you go in the future and get the 2025 Pacers, I think LeBron James has got their number.
Do we think anything we saw in the regular season from this matchup really matters, or it's all about the Cavs being able to switch that switch and LeBron going into the Super Saiyan mode?
I think the only thing you can take into from the regular season is that the Pacers, like they did against a lot of teams this year, is they didn't stay down. They didn't. One of their wins against the Cavs was a comeback win. They were down by 15 plus and they came back, which was the story of the Pacers this year all year. It didn't matter how much they got down by. It didn't matter who they played. They played really hard basketball. They played. They were fifth in the league in turnovers and protecting the basketball. They only averaged 13.3 turnovers per game, which is top five in the league. So they were really good at taking care of the basketball. And I think that's something that the Pacers need to do against the Cavs again. It's all about just protecting the basketball.
Yeah, this Pacers team is a really scrappy team. And if there's one thing we could take away from the season series is that they're not going to go away regardless of how much they fall behind. So I think that's something the Cavs have to keep in the back of their mind, that they can't come out slow like they tend to do and let this team beat them in the early goings of this series or in any of these games. So I think the Cavs have to keep that in the back of mind. This is a scrappy team. It's a team that's not going to quit. And it's a team, quite frankly, that's not afraid of the Cavs. So I think that's going to play a big part in the series.
Yeah, like you mentioned, they can't start slow. They also can't take a quarter off. Like Corey said, they've come back a lot of games this season. And I honestly have felt the same way about the Pacers since the first game of the season. I felt like they're a team that you have to beat. The Pacers aren't really going to beat themselves. Like Corey said, top five in protecting the ball. Also, they just do a lot of things offensively. They're going to score points. You really have to go after them and beat the Pacers. So I think that's an interesting point in the series where the Cavs have to be focused and engaged and really beat the Pacers to win the series. Where do we think the Cavs can attack the Pacers?
I mean, the Cavs attack the Pacers by doing what they do best. The Pacers aren't a great three-point shooting team. Or I shouldn't say they're a bad three-point shooting team, but they don't shoot a lot of three-pointers. You know, they only make 9 three-pointers per game, which is in the bottom 10. They're sixth. And obviously, we know the Cavaliers are a power juggernaut. They make 12 threes a game on 32 attempts. So I think for the Cavs, you want to just score. The Pacers don't have a ton of scorers on their team. They can't get into shootouts. You know, if the game's reaching, you know, 110 or 115, it's probably going to be a Cavs win. If the score is near 100 or near 105, that's the game the Pacers can win. It's all for the Cavs. You just want to score. You know, if the Cavs are scoring in bunches, they're hitting threes, guys are hitting shots, they're attacking the paint, that's going to be how the Cavs win. You have to want to outscore the Pacers. And obviously, that's a really stupid thing to say because obviously to win a game, you have to outscore someone. But I'm saying, like, you want to be aggressive in your attack offensively.
Yeah, and I think, you know, going back to what you just said about the three-point shooting, the Pacers do a really good job defending the three-point line. I think that having LeBron on the floor, he's going to – like, his gravity is going to pull in a lot of defenders. It's going to give a lot of open looks for those shooters on the Cavs. So that might change up a little bit. But they are a good defensive team on the perimeter. So I think a lot of the damage is going to have to come from the inside. And with a guy like Miles Turner protecting the rim, it's going to be tough. But they have the personnel to do it. Kevin Love is great around the basket. LeBron is obviously LeBron. So I think that they need to kind of diversify their offense a little bit and make sure they're taking and making their open shots.
Yeah, another area I think the Cavs, what they need to do is protect the ball. They're not a terrible turnover team, but Pacers in terms of points off of turnovers, they're second highest in the league in terms of percentage. So they're getting a lot of points off forcing turnovers, getting on that fast break, getting those easy buckets. So the Cavs going to need to make sure they take care of the basketball as well. From the Pacer side, where can they attack the Cavs?
Defensively, steals. The Pacers are one of the best teams in causing turnovers. Victor Oladipo, I believe, ended the season with 56 or 57 straight games with a steal. For the Pacers, their strongest asset, they were third in the league in steals. So for them, it's about, you know, forcing turnovers, stealing the ball, getting out in transition, pushing the tempo a little bit. So I think for the Pacers, you just got to get active. You got to have active hands, and you have to stay out of foul trouble. I think that's going to be a big thing, too. Is Miles Turner and Sabonis have a tendency to get into foul trouble, especially Miles Turner. Several games this year, even last game against the Hornets, he had like 3 fouls in the first 2 minutes of the game. If you know those guys get into foul trouble in a team that's already got a weak interior defense, that you know the Cavs could really flourish on them and destroy them. So I think they need to stay out of foul trouble and cause turnovers.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think the Pacers really have to make the Cavs pay for playing lousy defense. I think any opportunity they get to punish them for their slouch defense, they've got to take that opportunity, make sure they score as many points as they can based off of this Cavs defense. It's really, you know, it's not something we can really beat around the bush, but this is not a good defensive team that they have in Cleveland. So I think the Pacers really need to take advantage of the opportunities that they do get.
Yeah. I agree. I think that obviously, like you mentioned, Jonathan, Corey, the defense is an issue for Cleveland, and the Pacers just need to keep attacking, scoring, going right at them. Also, another area I think they might be able to attack a little bit, Miles Turner, Sabonis, Thad Young's been nice with offensive rebounds occasionally. The Cavs are 22nd in rebound percentage, so there is some possibility of attacking them a little bit on the boards and getting some more extra buckets, especially when they do go small.
I mean, yeah, both these teams, you can make an argument, are not very good at interior defense. That's one of their both their weak areas. Obviously, Miles Turner is great at blocking shots, but blocking shots only does so much in the paint. Both these teams arguably have a deficiency in the paint, and that's something I think both teams should focus on. LeBron's probably going to drive a ton. Victor Oladipo is going to drive a ton. It's going to be really a battle of the paints in this series, actually, if you think about it as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, at least the Pacers have Miles Turner. The Cavs really don't have anybody down there that's going to protect the rim, and that's been a problem for them for a few years.
Yeah, and I think Miles Turner, that kind of gets to the next thing, the key matchups. And I think Miles Turner is going to be a matchup in this series. Corey kind of mentioned foul trouble being an issue for him. We've seen at times where he looks like he could be one of the more promising bigs in the NBA moving forward. Then other games, he's been very timid. So what do you think about Miles Turner in the series?
I 100% agree. I think he's going to be crucial. And that's also because I think Victor Oladipo is going to draw a lot of attention. Rodney Hood and George Hill, both those guys are really good defenders, and I think they're both going to be flip-flopping on Oladipo for much of the series. So, I think for the Pacers, you know, you have to really push on Miles Turner. We've seen Miles Turner go through a stretch recently where he was really good, and then he ended the season shooting very poorly again. So if Miles Turner is hitting, you know, those 25-foot jumpers, and he's hitting those three-point shots when he gets open, he's throwing down some of those nasty tomahawk dunks that we've seen him do in the past. staying out of foul trouble, it'd be huge. Because like you mentioned about guys like Tristan Thompson is the guy going against him for the most part. You know, Miles Turner should dominate a series against Tristan Thompson. Not to mention, you know, I don't like to talk about the politics and the pop culture shit that goes with it, but Tristan Thompson got a lot of shit going on off the court. You know, so it wouldn't be hard to see him, you know, have some trouble on the court with everything else that he's got going on in his life. And
he's had a rough season too in general. Like yeah. He hasn't been good since that finals. You know, he's just been off and he hasn't been that same guy with that same energy.
Yeah, so I think Miles Turner for sure. I think actually, I mean, it's hard for me to just say Miles Turner because Sabonis has been so damn good this year that it's really just the center position for the Pacers in general. Between Turner, Sabonis, those guys pretty much play 30 minutes each. That center position is going to be crucial, I think, for the Pacers in general.
Yeah, I think it's debatable on who's more valuable to them at this point because of how good Sabonis has been. But yeah, Miles Turner is definitely going to have to step up because the Cavaliers really do have the two most talented players in this series. So Victor Oladipo is going to need some help from somebody, and you would like to assume that that's going to come from Miles Turner.
Yeah. What do we think the Pacers do with LeBron? Like, who's going to match up with him? And don't tell me Bogdanović.
Hey, Bogdanović and Kevin Durant went toe-to-toe a couple weeks ago, and it was, you know, 29 points to 27 points. So, you know, who knows what could happen? No, I think for LeBron, you know, you got to bring out the secret weapon. Lance Stevenson. Got to get Lance in there. Obviously, Nate McMillan's not no fool, despite what some believe and what I've said about him last year. But he's no fool. Lance is going to play a decent amount of minutes, probably no more than his usual. But he's going to play him, and he's going to have him play against LeBron. Lance bothers LeBron for whatever reason. Lance seems to be the one player who consistently bothers LeBron James for whatever reason. It may not always show up on the stat sheet, but he definitely is a nuisance. So I think Lance is going to get a lot of looks. And then for me, I think a guy like Thad Young. Obviously, Thaddeus Young is not as quick and athletic to keep up with LeBron all the time, but he's got the physicality at least to kind of bully LeBron a little bit, as much as you can, that is. So for me, it's going to be kind of a flip-flop between those two guys to really try and limit LeBron. Because as you mentioned, Nick, Bogdanović, he's going to be eaten alive if he's got to go up against LeBron in a seven-game series.
Yeah, I think that Lance Stephenson is nothing more than a fly on the cape of the king there. He's maybe a small nuisance, but I think he's a net negative with him on the floor, especially when you can consider the other guards that the Pacers have. But if you want to throw Lance out there to guard LeBron, I'm okay with that as a Cavs fan. As a LeBron fan, I'll take that. I think the Pacers are really going to need to make this a team effort. Thad, like you said, is going to be important. Even Victor Oladipo is probably going to have shifts where he's guarding LeBron. It's going to be a team effort. As we've seen, no one guy is going to stop LeBron James. It's going to take a team effort, and I think they're going to have to throw different looks at him. I think they're going to try and trap him. I think they're going to try and take the ball out of his hands, but it's not going to be easy. Lance is going to get a look at him. Thaddeus Young's going to get a look at him. Bogdanović is probably going to get a look at him. Even a guy like Victor Oladipo.
Glenn Robinson.
Yeah, how has Glenn Robinson looked since he's returned? Obviously, he's missed most of the season. Is he somebody we can expect anything from this series, or is he still kind of getting back?
He came back, and they played him for a little bit, and then Nate McMillan benched him for about a week and a half. They started playing again. You know, he's okay, but obviously the injury kind of – he lost a year of development, I think, in my eyes. Because of the injury, he's no different than he was last year. He still has some dunks. He still plays decent defense, but offensively, his game is still really, really raw. So I don't think we'll see a lot of him. But you know, if let's say Lance is ineffective and they can't slow down LeBron, then you know maybe they give Glenn a chance to try and limit him.
Yeah, Trevor Booker's another guy that they can throw at him as well.
I think Trevor Booker and Thad Young might be like their possible best options in a sense, just because they have some physicality and they can at least do something. Obviously, they'll be letting LeBron shoot, but in some situations you want LeBron to shoot, but not this year. So I think that's going to be a really big factor in the series, and that's nothing against the Pacers because not many teams have anybody that can slow down LeBron, but it just looks like they're going to have a hard time. And like you mentioned, Jonathan, when you do it as a team effort, you might throw some double teams, but the Cavs just really spread the floor really well. And it's just so tough to defend. But any other key matchups in the series you guys are eyeing on?
It's tough to
– Any low-key matchups?
I mean, I'm going to say a low-key matchup would be George Hill and Darren Collison.
I was just thinking that.
I mean, Darren Collison has the I think he finished the year with the best 3-point percentage in the NBA. Obviously, George Hill's a scrappy defender, a very good 3-point shooter. He's obviously struggled a little bit since coming to Cleveland. But, you know, like we mentioned, for the Pacers to be successful, they have to have other guys besides Oladipo step up. You know, Darren Collison has hit some big-time shots down the stretch since he's come back from the knee injury at the All-Star break. He's been fantastic by the 3-point line. So they could really use that kind of offense on a team that only makes, you know, 9 threes a game. They could really use Collison hitting some threes.
Yeah,
I think another matchup is Victor Oladipo and going against the trio of guards that they have in Cleveland. Rodney Hood, Jordan Clarkson, J.R. Smith, they're all going to play some important minutes in this series, and how they match up with Victor Oladipo is going to be important. Obviously, Victor being the more talented out of the four of them, but that combination of shooting guards that they have in Cleveland is an interesting combination. Not a ton of playoff experience outside of J.R., but I think the combination, the different skills and the different looks that they'll give Victor defensively is going to be interesting.
Yeah, honestly, Rodney Hood's a guy we've seen in the past, even JR in a sense, in some of the playoff matchups has really stepped up defensively. Obviously, Clarkson's not really known for his defense, but there are some guys that are going to have play an important role, because obviously we know LeBron's going to get his and the Cavs are going to score some points, but if they can't stop Oladipo and the Pacers, it's going to give, you know, the Pacers a shot in every game this series. Deciding factor.
For me, actually, the deciding factor is going to be the Pacers bench. I think any time you're playing against an offensive juggernaut like the Cavs, which they are, obviously their defense is weak. But the Pacers don't score a ton of points. So the bench unit has to be big. Guys like Lance Stephenson, Corey Joseph, Trevor Booker, Sabonis, even if Glenn Robinson gets some minutes, all those guys need to be effective. They need to have positive impacts on the floor. You know, Lance can't go out there for 20 minutes and have, you know, a 3-for-10 shooting night and 6 turnovers trying to do too much. Corey Joseph can't go out there with tunnel vision. I know, Jonathan, you've watched Corey Joseph in Toronto. There are times where he just gets in straight tunnel vision mode and thinks he's Darren Williams from the Jazz days. I don't know what goes through his mind.
I try to warn you about him.
You did. I mean, he's been – I got to be honest, though. For the majority of the year, though, he's been very solid. I've been happy. But he does get, you know, a little – you know, I don't know who he thinks he is at times, moments. But he's been solid, especially defensively. That's been a really big surprise for me. But then guys like Sabonis and Booker, for me, I think the Pacers' second unit needs to be a big plus, especially because, you know, the Cavs bench with Larry Nance Jr., Jordan Clarkson, J.R. Smith, those guys are all really streaky. You know, none of those guys are an automatic yes positive. So I think for me, it's got to be the bench unit.
Deciding factor for me is that one team has LeBron James and the other does not. That's really all there is to say about it. We can talk semantics. We can talk about the bench. We can talk about the shooting and the defensive settings and what we can do here, what we can do there. But at the end of the day, unless LeBron James breaks both legs, this series is only going to go one way.
I think that, you know, LeBron is the key in the series in a sense. Can the Pacers do anything to stop him? Now, not even stop him, just slow him down and not make him as efficient. I think that's going to be the key for the Pacers to, you know, really push this series 7 games or really have a shot at winning it. But what's your prediction, guys?
Go ahead, John. Let me know.
The king has arrived. I got the Cavs in 5.
Oh, man. All right. See you later. No, okay. I'm going with Cavs in 7, but this is not going to be a quick series. This is
in
gonna
7?
Be, yes, Cavs in 7. Yep, Cavs in 7. I haven't seen enough defense or enough from the Cavs stability-wise for me to think that they can wipe any team off the floor in the Eastern Conference, unless it's the Milwaukee Bucks, who I think, or the wounded Celtics. Everyone slept on the Pacers all year long, so it will continue to be that way. I'm looking forward to the Pacers winning game 1 on Sunday to put everyone a little bit on notice. But that's my prediction, Cavs in 7.
I got Cavs in 6. I think the Pacers do, you know, they're able to pull off 2 games. Like you said, Corey, they're somewhat slept on, and that Cavs defense is pretty bad. And I think they do need some time to warm up, because it's not like they've been playing incredible basketball. LeBron has been incredible, but the rest of the roster still needs to step up. So I like Cavs in 6.
Did you guys watch the playoffs last year? Did you guys miss what happened in the first 3 rounds of last year's playoffs?
Right, and there was a guy named Kyrie Irving, I believe, on the floor too, right? And Kevin Love?
I think you'd admit, though, John, that the defense this year is worse than it was last year.
Way worse.
And the lack of inside presence, I think, is a real concern in a sense. And I don't think that it's, you know, that the Pacers are going to win the series. But I think the fact that, you know, Miles Turner, Sabonis have a big game, they really don't have another physical presence on the Cavs that can do anything. You can't expect LeBron to drop 35 points, dish out 12 assists, get 15 rebounds, and also hold down the paint the whole game. Like, he is one guy, and the rest of the roster, I think, through the questions. I don't have any worries about LeBron. He's going to go Super Saiyan. He might hit Super Saiyan 2 or 3 in this series, but still, the rest of the supporting cast, I think, is definitely questionable.
For me, it comes down to the fact that the Cavs have the two most talented players in the series. And
I wouldn't say they have the top two. I think you're really underestimating Victor Oladipo.
I'm not underestimating him, but you can't show up one season, have the season of your career, and all of a sudden now we're just gonna forget everything that Kevin Love has done in his career.
Well, like, I'm not back to his Minnesota days,
he looked just every bit as good as Victor Oladipo's looked.
Okay, well, I mean, he has never looked like Minnesota Kevin Love in Cleveland. Regardless. So I mean, we're gonna go
with LeBron James.
Well, okay.
Who can look like that beside LeBron?
Okay, well, Victor Oladipo had to play alongside Westbrook, and now he has his own team, and now he looks like this.
But what about all the years before Westbrook? He was only
he played shit ass in Orlando. Who has ever looked good in Orlando?
I don't know, man. A point about that Orlando.
Tobias Harris is the same way now. He looks fantastic out of Orlando.
I don't know, man. I haven't seen enough from Victor Oladipo to say he's a better basketball player than Kevin Love. I think Kevin Love is. I'd say he's the more talented of the two, and if we want to give Victor Oladipo a slight edge and say, okay, well, maybe they're on par, or maybe Victor Oladipo has a slight edge, the gap between LeBron and everybody else is so much that
I agree. I'm not going to discredit LeBron at all. I think LeBron is going to get his. I wouldn't be surprised if he averages a triple double. I'm never going to bet against the king until I'm proven otherwise. I'm just saying, you know, saying it's like a clear cut two all-star to, you know, difference in Kevin Love to Oladipo, I think, is just a little, you know, a little much.
Well, I think I would go this. I would say, you know, Oladipo still has plenty to prove. You know, he has to show us he can do it for another season, obviously postseason success. But I would say Oladipo had a better season than Kevin Love. And obviously Kevin Love has dealt with injuries too. So I would think going to the playoffs, Oladipo has a lot to prove, and he definitely could, and he can show up. One thing I will say I like about Oladipo is this two-way ability. You know, his ability to play defense and score the ball. So, but MVP of the series, I don't even know why I'm asking this question, but go.
I mean, I'm saying LeBron James without question.
All right, let's actually, you know, cut it. Obviously, we're all going to pick LeBron. Who is the second most important player for the Cavs when they win the series? Who's going to be the second guy that's going to step up big?
It's Kevin Love. And I think the fact that we're even having this conversation is a little unfair to him. He's obviously a very talented guy, a very talented player. And I think because of the fact of, you know, he plays.
Well, I'm not saying
LeBron,
the second best player. I'm just saying, you know, who's going to step up and have a really big series. So I'm not disrespecting him. I'm just saying, you know, who's the guy that's going to be, you know, the second MVP.
I think it needs to be Kevin Love, because otherwise there's going to be people on the internet talking about how he's not that good of a player.
So he's been there, seen that.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm actually going to go different. I think it's going to be Rodney Hood. I think Rodney Hood's going to have a really good series, because I think Rodney Hood's going to have to do a lot defensively to limit Oladipo for the Cavs to win this series, and I think he's going to do enough.
I like Love in the sense that we mentioned Thad Young possibly having to defend LeBron. Like, who's going to guard Kevin Love then? Or, you know, all these different situations where, like, I think Love is just going to be the guy that ends up getting the open threes. Just that LeBron and Love pick and roll is just so tough to defend, especially when LeBron's rolling like a Mack truck into the paint.
Yeah, I think that Miles Turner is going to get a little bit of burn on him, because I don't know how much Tristan Thompson is going to play in the playoffs. I think Kevin Love is going to slide down and play the five a little bit. So I think you'll see those two matched up quite a bit, which, you know, again, kind of bodes well for the Cavs, because they can pull Miles Turner away from the basket a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's a big series. And like I mentioned, I think Miles Turner is going to be a big component here, and he's going to have an impact if, you know, the series going a little bit longer than we anticipated, or if it ends up being a lot quicker. If he ends up getting in foul trouble early on, that could hurt the Pacers, because that is one advantage they have. I think we'd agree he has some size in the series that nobody else really has, size and length. Not as much weight-wise, but just overall being one of those bigs. But anything else before we get out of here, guys?
This one as expected, I think, right?
I think it was a great show, guys. As always, thank you, Corey. Thank you, Jonathan, for hopping on. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And you can catch the rest of the playoff preview pods, OTG Basketball, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and tons of other great content over at OTGBasketball.com.
Thanks, guys.